Well, let's go back now to the reading we had in Mark chapter 7. And there are two episodes there. We're going to look at the second, the healing of the deaf and mute man. Verse 33, we read that after Jesus took the man aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. This is just a one-off message this morning. We've finished the series we're doing on the course of life, Lifeline, and hopefully start something else shortly. But this is a very powerful episode in which we see Jesus' emotions right to the fore. Verse 34 says, with a deep sigh, he said to the man, Ephphatha. A deep sigh. When did you last sigh? Really? When did you last really just heave a sigh? A heartfelt, burdened sigh. Probably all of you have done it for some reason or other in the last day or two. Maybe do it right now. Just sigh. Just feel, what is it you're thinking about when you sigh? What is it that makes you sigh? What is it that makes you sigh like Jesus here? Deeply, a deep sigh. This is something that really was wrung out of Jesus. Something that comes from the emotional depths of the Son of God. Shows that he has a deep burden here. What makes you sigh with a burden? What is it about yourself that makes you sigh? Is there anything that you think, oh, Roddy, oh, yeah, there you go again. Or what is it that makes you sigh about the congregation, about the church? Oh, when are they going to do something about this? What is it that makes you sigh about your community? About the neighbours that you have around you? About the village that you live in? Ah, oh, these people, they're at it again. What is it that really moves you? That makes you sigh? What is it about you that makes other people sigh? Do other people sigh when they think of you? Sometimes they think, oh, will he never learn? And the most important question really in this is, what would make Jesus sigh about you or about me? Jesus sighed about this man, but what would make him sigh about you? What would burden him with such deep emotion as he looked at your situation, your circumstances, your life? Or would he see only things that would fill him with thanksgiving and with joy? Maybe not. There is plenty, I think, to make the perfect and perfectly sensitive and compassionate, wise Son of God sigh about our lives. Let's think about the emotion of this situation for a minute. Why does Jesus sigh here? He's obviously burdened in some way. If you do this, and I always suggest you spend time reading the Bible, not just in a superficial way, but think about it. Like, you could spend a whole afternoon just asking the question, why is Jesus sighing? And you would find all kinds of reasons. Perhaps it's a very simple thing. Perhaps he's tired. Verse 31. He left the vicinity of Tyre. He went through Sidon. down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. That's about 100 miles. So he's had a long journey. Maybe he's just tired. Tiredness can make a sign. Maybe he's concerned with how difficult it is to minister when there's this crowd around him all the time. It's very difficult. Verse 33, he takes the man aside from the crowd. He has to get away from the crowd. And verse 36, this crowd, he tells them not to say anything about the miracle, but the more he tells them, the more they do the opposite, he tells them, and they spread it more and more, because Jesus can't really minister to people personally when there's a crowd around. It's very difficult. We know that ourselves. If you're going to really deal with an individual, listen to them. Listen to their heartbeats. Find out what's wrong. Help them. You really need space. And Jesus isn't getting that space. The clamoring crowd. Oh, it's hard. It's hard work. But there were many other things that Jesus was burdened about, without a doubt. He was burdened about his own people, the people of Israel. The fact is, recently in his ministry, he's been having to avoid them. Because the leaders of his people are increasingly hostile towards him. And he's having to go into these Gentile areas like the Decapolis or Sidon and Tyre, when in fact he was sent, as he says, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's his priority. And he says that in a sense to the lady in verse 27. First let the children, the Israelites, eat what they want. That's his mission, first of all. Beyond that, Jesus knows he's got another mission to the Gentiles. And he's not even hardly beginning to reach them. There's a whole world of lostness and of need to make Jesus sigh. And he'll have to wait until his church gets up and mobilized and starts reaching out to the Gentiles with the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection for that sigh to reach some kind of satisfaction. And then there's the man in front of him. You can't imagine what emotional traumas this man has gone through, what suffering this man may have experienced. And this is the Decapolis. It's a Gentile area. There's a lot of false religion and idolatry around. And there's a lot of demonic activity. Remember back in chapter 5 of Mark, the demon-possessed man there, he was from the Decapolis. So there's lots of evil, lots of demonic influence to make Jesus sigh as well. And these people in the Decapolis, they're spiritually very ignorant. They don't even know the ABC of God and of the good news of his kingdom. And it may be that many of them, they're not really interested. All they want is their friend to get better. They just want Jesus to do his miracle. They don't really care how he does it. As long as he does it and they're better and they can get on with life as they want to get on with it and forget about him afterwards. Just use Jesus. There's a lot to make Jesus sigh in this situation. The same with yourself. If you're someone who sees clearly, if you see and understand society and people and the plight of humanity, and if you see it with spiritual eyes, if you see it with even a hint of God's vision, you will sigh. You will sigh with Jesus as you look around. But Jesus doesn't leave the situation there. He is able to do something to transform it. Hallelujah. So after the emotion comes this word, Ephphatha. It's one of the occasions where the writers of the Gospels give us such a vivid picture of what happened that you know that you're reading eyewitness account you're reading in Mark's Gospel the reminiscences of Peter, the apostle, recorded by Mark. And Peter's just seeing it as he dictates it to Mark in his mind's eye. He's seeing the situation where himself and the rest of the disciples are watching Jesus with this man. And he hears that word that Jesus spoke to him in the Aramaic language that was the everyday language of the Jewish people. Ephatha. Ephatha, an imperative word. Open. Be opened. Powerful word of command from Jesus. You know, there are a few occasions in the Gospels we hear Aramaic words like Abba, or Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sabachthani, or Talitha Kum. These are words from the language that Jesus spoke every day. And this is just one word. Ephatha. It's not shouted. This is not some kind of frantic tub-bashing preacher here. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who is in command of the forces of nature and every atom, every molecule in this man's life. Ephatha, be opened. And with the word of command goes the power to effect what is commanded. In the case of Jesus, the power of God goes forth as he speaks that word and does unimaginable things in the brain circuitry of this man and in the physiology of this man to release his tongue so that he can speak clearly, to open his ears so that he can hear clearly. It's an absolute miracle. An invincible word from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Be opened. Be opened. Be opened, Kyle. Be opened, Plockton. Be opened, Inverinet. Be opened, Kailakin. What is there that is closed, that is shut, that is locked against Jesus, even within the four walls of this building? What is there in our community that shuts Jesus out? Where are the places where there are no openings for him? What is blocked, like this man's ears, that ought not to be blocked? This man, he couldn't hear Jesus, and he couldn't speak to Jesus. Where are the ears that cannot hear Jesus today in our community? Where are the lips that do not speak to Jesus in our community today that need to be opened? Lips that are silent before him. Ears that are stopped against his word. We're surrounded by that in our community. When people should be speaking to Jesus, pleading for help, they are silent. Praising him for giving help, they are silent. Sometimes in this building, the place is full, particularly in funerals. And I and others speak the word of the living God, and people don't hear. It goes into their ears, and they don't hear. Their ears are closed. Their lives are closed. All around in our community, people are deaf. People are mute before Jesus Christ. Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And everyone ought to be saying, well, I've got ears to hear, so I'll hear, but they don't. All around us. And what we need today is for the Lord Jesus to say Ephatha to Kyle, to Lahash, to Skye, to this area. Ephatha to the people. Open my closed lips. Open my deaf ears. Open my hard heart. What about you? Is your life blocked, closed to Jesus? Are you refusing to listen to him? Because you've got your own life and you don't want him in the way. And it's all going very nicely. Do you understand that in your life there are many blockages? In your life, there is deafness, there is muteness that should not be there. Do you understand something of the hardening of your own heart? Do you understand something of how you've changed? Remember once you were a little child, a child relatively innocent, a child eager, a child trusting, a child who didn't have pretenses, who didn't have hypocrisy. You were just simple, straightforward, ready to learn, affectionate, ready to give your heart two things. Have you changed? Yes, you've changed. Things that ought still to be open are shut. Hearts that ought still to be open are closed. Ears that ought still to be open are blocked. Lips that ought still to be speaking praises and prayers and petitions before Jesus are silent. We need to hear these words, or this word, Ephatha, be opened in our own lives and in our community too. That means that we must do what the friends of this man did. Verse 32. Some people brought him to Jesus, a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged. That's what it says. They begged Jesus to place his hand on the man. They begged. That's where this encounter began. People cared. They cared for this man, their friend. They cared for him enough to dispense with wondering about what other people would think if they did this, wondering about their image, all the sort of things that people fear in the communities. What are people say about me? What if I step out of my place in the community? People dispensed with that. They dispensed with their image. They dispensed with their pride. And they begged. How many beggars are there in Kyle today? How many beggars are there in this community today? You say, well, Roddy, this is not a place where there are beggars. We're fairly well off here. And, you know, if someone's in a bit of trouble, others will look out for them. We have enough. We don't really lack anything, Roddy. What do we have enough of in our community? Do we have enough power to open what is shut? How many places are there in our community that should be open, but no one is able to open them? How many things that ought to be opened up to the love of God are shut to him? How many locks are there on the doors where there used to be none? How many closed doors where used to be open in welcome? How many closed lips that used to sing God's praises? Closed hearts, closed minds, closed purses, closed wallets, closed church buildings, closed graves. And can we open any of them? Are we concerned? Are we concerned enough to beg? Begging is what you do when you haven't got what you need. And you haven't got any other means of getting it than to beg of someone who can give it to you. And in this situation, we need to beg Jesus to say the word Ephphatha to our lives, to our families, to our friends, to our community, to the people of Lahash and Skye. We need to beg. We need to be the beggars. We, the church, cannot open hearts and minds and ears and lips. We can't do it. We have to take the role of these friends in this story and beg Jesus. We have to put aside our pride. We have to put aside our little programs of what we want to do in life and actually spend time before God begging, before Jesus pleading for others. Because we do not have, as a church, the resources to enable people to receive Jesus, to receive forgiveness, to receive life, to receive healing, to receive peace, to receive a place in the family of God. Verse I was meditating upon this morning. To all who receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, God gives the authority, the right to become the children of God. We can't do that for people. Because as the verse goes on, it says, children are born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Only God can bring people to the place where they receive Jesus and they receive a place in his family. Our role is to beg for ourselves and for the people around us, that Jesus may say these words, be opened to the people around us in our community. We need to beg on behalf of those who are mute, who are dumb, who are deaf, that Jesus will open what is closed. Take confidence this morning from the confidence these people gained in Jesus in verse 37. What did they say? It says they were overwhelmed with amazement. There's more emotion. There's joy. There's delight. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Take confidence in their confidence. What he has done for others, he can do for us. What he has done for broken people in other places, he can do here. In other times, he can do now. What he has maybe done for us, he can do for others. Beg, plead with Jesus that he will place his hands, as verse 32 says, place his hands on this community. Place his fingers in their ears, spit and touch their lips and tongue, and say the word, Ephphatha, opening up people's lives once again to the love of God, to the mercy of God, to eternal life, that there may once again be in our community the joy of salvation. Singing and making music. There's plenty of music last night coming from Kailakan Hall and on Friday night. What about the music of the church, of Christians walking along the street, saying, just singing to Jesus, singing to God because of what God's done in people's lives. Of people who say, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Just singing for sheer joy in what Jesus has done for them. Let that be our future in this community. As Jesus says the word, Ephphatha, in response to our pleading and begging that he will do so for the people around us. Amen.